What's going on, everyone? Welcome to the latest episode of River City 93. It is a midweek episode right before Labor Day weekend, so me and Matt decided after we kind of cooled down a little bit after Central Valley Fuego and Matt had to recuperate from his beautiful trip out to Denver, we're going to record a podcast to break down the latest game that happened. Matt, how are you doing, sir? How was Denver? Sounded like it was a fun trip. Wish I could be there.
Of course it was fun. Why would I go on a trip that's not fun?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you could be like Fuego and just take a trip and learn halfway through the trip that, oh, yeah, your interim head coach? Yeah, he's not the guy anymore. We got you an interim head coach.
Yeah, you know, they're Dwight Schrute in it, and I guess it did not work.
Yeah, I know. I've never seen a managerial bounce work in the middle of a game, but apparently it did.
I don't know if that's that or if that's just a function of playing this version of the kickers.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so. It seems like it. Before we start, Matt, let me ask you a question. How do you feel about the wave?
I could answer it honestly, but we'd have to put the little explicit tag on this. I'll just say no thank you. Ever.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't realize how much people hated the wave, but I fully saw that in fruition last night. And some other things. Go ahead, let's talk about it. The Kickers had a 3-3 draw against Central Valley Fuego. Central Valley, who's just coming off of a 4-4 draw with Fort Madison FC. Matt, lineup. We got the lineup. We see it again. Darren Sawatsky's talked about it before. You know, we've talked about it in depth. Like, the lack of depth was a real question, something that we talked about in the last podcast, but we knew Dakota had the red card. How was he going to line up? How was he going to set up his defensive line? How would that affect the midfield? And so on and so forth. You know, and we saw the lineup happen. We had Landon Johnson. We had Bentley up top. And surprisingly enough, Belmar gets a start in the front three. We haven't seen him get a start, I want to say, since mid-July, I think.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Don't remember the exact game off the top of my head, but yeah. You know, he was completely out of the 18 for a bit. He was on his sub for a little bit, and now he's up on, you know, the Sawatsky musical chairs of who gets to play this week.
Right. That should be a thing we should bring out in the next game, you know, just to have a little bit more forward and fun in the games. Let's do musical chairs.
I mean, kind of seems like it's random most games, doesn't it?
You think Sawatsky's just drawing us out of head, just like, you can start this week.
I mean, this is as good a guess as any right now.
This is all jokes, by the way. I can assure you Darren is not really putting names in a hat and just pulling them out. It'd be like, you're healthy, you can play. my fault. Midfield, we saw O'Dwyer drop. He went to center back, of course, but we saw Jao, Neil, and Zaka. Zaka, of course, is wearing the armband as Emmy was not in the 18. We did get an update on Emmy. A lot of people was worried or nervous. It seemed to be a knee knock injury that happened prior to the Lexington game, so that's why he didn't travel for that one. And they asked to see if Emmy was ready to go for this week. Emmy wasn't really confident, and he sat out this week as well, which I'm fine with. Like, let him get the rest. He's more than enough deserved it, and it's good to see. You know, other players are stepping up. Bentley kind of stepped up in that role for him.
So yeah, I think we'll talk a little bit about production from the center forward position.
Yeah,
later on.
And in the back line, we had Hornsby, O'Dwyer, Ani, and Finch, and of course Akira between the pipes. So back there, it's kind of a veteran-led defensive group. O'Dwyer being back there at center back, we were just talking about before we started recording about if there was more depth in this squad. I'm pretty sure you don't see O'Dwyer there, but with the lack of depth and the lack of trustable center backs, it seemed to have been an issue. I mean, not an issue, but kind of seemed like, hey, we got to put O'Dwyer back there.
Yeah, I didn't bother me really. You know, seeing him back there, I think his physical profile, you know, tracks well to, you know, being a center back. You know, he's a, mm-hmm. a big guy. We see that he's not afraid, you know, not afraid to use his body, you know, when he's in there. You know, so going into the game, you know, had, I was like, you know what? Yeah, why not? You'll see how Chandler does at center back.
Yeah. So I think the best way how to talk about this game is maybe somewhat in waves and in pairs, because it seemed as if like this game was mostly even for the most part. Like the first half, both teams had chances. Both teams had chances where they can take the lead. Even with Fuego breaking through on goal. And I still don't understand how the guy missed it. I don't understand if he was trying to chip Akira or what, yeah. But he totally missed that. But Richmond,
oh, no, it was a simple chip attempt that just got very chipped.
too much sauce on it. Yeah. But yeah, even with that, like Richmond had their chances as well. I remember vaguely I asked Jao about it during the postgame show on the shot attempt he had in the first half that just barely missed the post from outside the box. And he was mentioning how this is something that he's been working on for a while. If he's been working on the way how he said it kind of caught my attention, because he was just like, I want to push the team to take more shots from outside the box. And it's, you know, hearing a player say that, recognize that. He definitely took that shot from outside the box, barely just missed the post. But we had that tip. We had Zaka, which at the top, I didn't realize it was Zaka that was kind of slaloming through midfield playing 1-2s, but he had a good shot on goal. So, I mean, Richmond were creating chances. This is something that at the beginning of the year we were concerned with, because we didn't feel like there were enough chances created.
Yeah, they created a couple of chances. I wouldn't say it was a ton. I thought that first half hour of the game was pretty sleepy, you know, overall. Yeah. The 1-2 that, you know, Zaka got into the box, got into a great position, and then at the end you're like, all right, maybe I wish it wasn't our defensive midfielder, you know, who was on the end of that play. You know, fair play. He, you know, was able to force the keeper to make a save. But you could probably think of a few other guys on the field he might have preferred to get to take that shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, there. But the buildup, you know, definitely nice. Yeah, but nice. Yeah, I think, and you know, certainly, you know, Zhao's doing everything he can to, you know, showcase that he is a fan of the podcast, talking about, you know, wanting more shots from outside the box and, or any shots from outside the box. I feel like that's been a consistent gripe that we've had.
Yeah, felt like it.
But I mean, you know, despite all that, you know, this team does have one area in the attack where they are elite at this point, and that's corner kicks.
Yeah, yeah. Corner kicks and the long throws. Yeah, I feel like, I mean, Garrett talked about it. He mentioned how they've been really working on set pieces, because it was like, you know, we haven't been able to build up the way how we wanted to, create goals the way we wanted to. So we've honed in and focused on our set pieces and scoring goals from there. And this team has, once again, done it at a high rate. I mean, all three goals came from set pieces? Yeah.
All three goals came from corners.
Yeah, all three. I mean, right. Oh, my fault. All three came off of corners. so it seems as if like this team has really found their niche for that. And somewhere so that if Richmond's going to score, it's going to come from a corner, which I'm not mad about. I mean, as long as the ball go back,
they all count the same.
Yeah, as long as the ball go back into that. And I gotta say, man, it was kind of funny, because in the first half, I was seeing the Fuego goalkeeper, and he was struggling with like balls in the air, like he would kind of like juggle them or not really grab them with like the most confidence. And on this one, I'm standing right beside you in the first half, and I see the ball loop over, and I see the goalkeeper come out for it and just swipe, and I see him just completely whiff on it. And I see Jao, and I think everyone on the field had the same expression of like, where's the ball? And I think Jao in that moment is trying to like settle it, and he just whacks it in the back of the net.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's him solving one of my usual pet peeves, you know, with, you know, corners, and not just kickers' corners, like any team's, you know, corners, where, you know, they take it long and there's just nobody even remotely close to the back post, and it just goes out for a goal kick or a throw in. Because Jao is there, and, you know, he's able to, you know, take a touch, you know, to set himself up just to lace it, you know, right back into the goal. And I feel like you can get a lot of, you know, good chances, if not outright goals, you know, by having a guy, you know, just kind of hanging back there, looking to, you know, clean up the mess. Because, like you said, his keeper was a little bit dodgy, you know, with stuff in the air. It's probably a little bit of the stuff we always have our deep fears with, you know, with Akira, you know, because he gets typecast as the short keeper. And, you know, we're always worried, like, oh, is this high ball going to screw us this time? Is this high ball? It doesn't, but, you know, we're paranoid about such things. And, you know, came to pass, I mean, let's be real, came to pass twice in this game. But right now we're talking about this one.
Yeah, oh snap, it did. It did come to root twice. I mean, it's good on Darren checking out that scouting report, seeing, you know, like, hey, get this ball to the back post. We can get something Curry happen from it. As far as the first half goes, any performance that stood out to you? For me personally, I really like how Jao kind of dictated the midfield. He seemed very, like, direct at points. It seemed like he was the one, like, all right, I'm going to try to create something here or there, or try to spray the ball out to the wings.
Yeah, I mean, he was, you know, he was aggressive with his ball, you know, ball control, you know, there. I think, you know, where the team falls into a little bit of a trap sometimes is just the cautious possession.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a time and place for some of that, but I feel like maybe sometimes they go to it a little too often, take the safe route, and, you know, don't end up challenging, you know, the defense at all. But, you know, Jao was not afraid to, you know, kind of look towards goal, look, you know, for something, you know, more aggressive, look for the next, you know, option that was available there. And, you know, got paid off, and, you know, got paid off, you know, with big old nose plug in his nose as well.
Yeah.
Which, a great look always.
It was just shoved all the way up in there. Wonderful look.
I think another. Well, I want to, you know, shout out one other guy for the first half. I thought the first half Chandler was quite good at center back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, seemed to keep it simple. Didn't, you know, do anything they didn't need to do. I think he has a little bit, you know, added level of distribution, you know, back there, because I think we saw a lot more return of the Bolaños ball. You know,
yeah,
this game, you know, to both wings, and I think having a guy who, you know, maybe still has a little bit of a midfielder mindset back there to be able to ping that kind of pass helped.
Yeah, it kind of seemed to lose it up a little bit. I mean, Ali's a great defender. I don't think he has the ability to hit that ball with consistency. So it was good to see a midfielder back there that could kind of just distribute that ball out wide, and we could get out wide, kind of stretch before you go out. Talking about our forwards real quick before we go into the second half, Landon Johnson. He played the first 45, obviously came off at halftime, but what have you thought about him so far? Like, he seemed a little impactful. You can still see the moments of inexperience where I think there's a ball he gets out on the right wing. He's trying to cut back inside, and he kind of lets it dribble out of bounds because he's taking a little bit too long to make a decision about it.
Yeah, you see the potential there. You know, it's not there yet.
Yeah.
You know, still potential, because he'll get himself into good situations sometimes, you know, but consistently, you know, not make the good choice, you know, once he was in that spot, whether it was not picking out, you know, the right pass, or just putting way too much weight, you know, on, you know, to, you know, a pass attempt, or just drubbing it straight out of bounds, you know, once or twice. So I don't want to kill the kid, because, you know, again, you get in the right spots, that's half the battle. But, you know, kind of the final piece of it, you know, was not there yet.
Yeah. You can see it's coming. You know, I really thought that this game, there was an opportunity for him to get his first assist. But you can see it's coming to building. Another player we're talking to you about, Matt Bentley. We know he's had his struggles this year, and he's been working through that. Last two games, he's played at the center forward. Not looking so more to create, but it's been a hold-up forward. You like this wrinkle from Darren? I'm not going to lie. I kind of like it. I feel like it's a perfect role for Bentley right now.
I think it's more natural for him. I don't think he gives us anything there that Emmy doesn't give us in a better version of it. Because I was listening to y'all, you know, last week, the episode from the Lexington game, and you're high in Bentley, and that, that's fine. But again, what does he do that Emmy doesn't?
Aerial balls. That's literally it. Just be able to jump to somebody. Yeah, and like I said last week, it's just height. Like, if Emmy is 6'1", maybe it's the same thing, like more different. But yeah,
if Emmy's 6'1", he's not playing here.
He's not. yeah, I mean, he did a fantastic job. I just, we know he's not scoring at the high clip, but to see him play well and not really be a deterrent to the offensive attack, like, I'll take that for right now. Build small steps, like, it's building steps, building the confidence in the team, which is something we'll talk about later.
Those are the smallest of steps you're looking for here, my man.
Right. Look, I'm trying to draw some positives from it.
I get it, but when the positive is not an active deterrent from the team.
Right. Second half came, and let me ask you a question, Matt. Like, do you feel as if the first half of this game had the same feel of Lexington? Like, we weren't trying to force the game, but it was like we were kind of letting the other team try to have the possession, try to cut us down, or try to get through us. And we were just fine. Like, okay, we'll play a little bit more defensively and we'll try to just counter when we get those chances.
I don't know. I mean, the first half didn't feel too out of the ordinary from a lot of other games to me, where not a lot of happens. We get carved up for one chance that we should have been punished for. Sneak our own goal, in there, along the way. It's kind of been classic kickers first halves where been able to have some level of control of the game. Kind of dictating what they want it to look like, and it's the same thing that everybody at the game knows by now of, all right, so that was a decent half. Was that the good half or was that the bad half this week?
It was funny enough because as soon as I started walking over to Conquerors and going back to the press box, I think I passed by like three people and everyone said the same exact thing. Like, all right, we got to do it a second 45. Like, we got to have a good second 45. And it's just like, and you're right. Everyone knows it at this point. Like, and I mean, naturally, you would think the players would know it as well, too, right?
I mean, I can't imagine they're that oblivious and unaware. There's no way they can not realize, what everybody is kind of thinking, or what they're even. There's no way they can't be thinking it themselves at this point.
Yeah, I mean, you don't imagine so. And I mean, we come out here the second half. We made the substitution. I get it. I get taking Landon off because he is 16, and that's a lot of minutes to put on a 16-year-old right now. We bring Sarakowski on. And, I mean, Matt, what do you think? Like, how do you think the second half started out for us?
Find a good, quite honestly. It was the Chattanooga game from a few weeks ago all over again.
that's the game, yeah. Another game that had that feeling. Now,
another game where we scored, I can't remember if it was off a corner, there too. I think it was to go up 2-0.
Yeah, that's when Sarakowski scored his header.
Yeah.
Yeah, so once again, I mean, this time it's Chandler pulling out a back heel goal. Hornsby gets the assist in this one, I'm assuming. But yeah, pulling off a back heel goal and blinking it all into the back of the net.
Yeah, he's got that Haji Wright World Cup round of 16 goal going.
I wonder if he was studying that half a week. He was like, yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm just going to pull this off.
I feel like he had a little more intention than maybe Wright did at the World Cup, where it didn't really look like he knew that that was the plan. But good for Chandler, being able to get his first one in an official game. He had that other one against Comunicaciones earlier in the summer, but this one, you know, goes in the official scorebook. So good on him for that. I mean, ironic that we throw a big body up top like that and, you know, puts it in with his foot. But again, like we said before, goes in, who cares?
Yeah, right. Who does care? And I mean, I'm very happy for Chandler because he's been playing well the last couple of weeks. Even going back to the second hitting derby, he's been playing well the last couple of weeks. And I mean, he did have a blunder, but I want to praise him for that. So at this point, we're up 2-0. And let me ask you, did you kind of feel like it got tight in the stadium when we went up 2-0? Like, it was just like,
Not then, and I'll own this. My stupid ass thought we were good at that point. Yeah, you know, I was like, home fuego, we're rolling, we got this. I think once it went 2-1, it got really tight in the stands really fast.
I was in the press box, and I think it was only me and Nate, but you can feel it get tight. I don't know what it is, but we'll talk about it. 2-1, like you mentioned, we're 2-1. The way I got to 2-1 is because Fuego had a penalty. I tweeted out last night that Akira has yet to save a penalty attempt in his 5 years of being here. He's faced 10. He hasn't saved one yet. Once again, I don't blame him when it comes to PKs because
I mean, you like bringing that stat up a lot. Kind of sounds like you want to blame him.
I don't want to blame him. I don't. But it's just, you know, it's weird. He hasn't seen one yet. Maybe it's coming soon. Hopefully.
Don't waste it this year at this point.
Yeah. Don't save it. But the way how that play happened where Akira got into the PK was because, honestly, it's on Sarakowski. Like, he's standing there, he's ball watching. Yeah, he's standing there ball watching, sees the ball go across his face, and that's one thing they tell you as a coach, of like, have active feet. Like, just don't stand still. And Sarakowski does the opposite of that. And he's tracking back, and all I'm saying to myself is, do not foul. Like, you are running back trying to chase this guy. He knows you are coming 100 miles an hour because you made a mistake. And if you touch him, even with the slides, he's going to fall because your momentum's not going to stop. And that's exactly what happened. And look, I've been kind of, you know, not singing Sarakowski's praise, but giving him good praise because he's scored goals and looking like a little spark for the offense. But the last two games, man, he's looked like he's starting to burn out quick.
Yeah, and the bad thing about that penalty was you could see it happening 2 to 3 seconds before, and you knew it was going to happen. And I mean, it was an obvious call. Like, if you're trying to say that wasn't a penalty, you need to kind of check yourself a little bit on that one.
That was 100% a PK.
Yeah, so yeah, unfortunate. I mean, looking up the stats. I was shocked to see that the team's only giving up 4 penalties because it feels like they just love giving them up like on an every game basis lately.
Well, I think in recent memory is Lexington.
Yeah, it's every Lexington game.
Yeah, because it's Lexington. Because Lexington just manages just to trip in the box against us and be like, oh, penalty. Like, it just seems to happen.
But yeah, I saw that stat. And again, yeah, you're probably right. It was just the recency of playing Lexington, you know, twice in recent memory, but
yeah,
kind of over giving up these penalties.
It's not favoring well towards them. I mean, this is something like I can't blame Darren on because it's like, I'm sure he's teaching his guys, like, yo, like, be active. Like, just don't stand there and watch the ball. And it's just like, as a coach, he's just like we talk about it before, like, momentum. This is like right now where you can feel that pendulum momentum swing because right after this, now this is the downside to playing Chandler and center back, right? Because I'm pretty sure if this is Dak or even if this is Chris Cole, they are either A, kicking this ball way up upfield, or they are holding off 77 to no end to shield his ball off. And I feel like Chandler was trying to shield him off. Like, he's trying to shield him to allow the ball to roll out. When the ball doesn't roll out, this is the danger of doing that, because if the ball doesn't roll out and you're kind of at a flat-footed, you're still, that attacker could just roll underneath you like he did and just dribble into the 18-yard box, where Dan is kind of like scramble drill moment and gets a free shot on goal. Because nobody's going to naturally go towards him.
Yeah, and there's it was bad. There's no way around that.
No.
You know, not sure what he's trying to do there. Like you said, simple. Just kick it straight in the stands, give him a throw in. We're good.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Granted, this team has issues defending, restarts, but I'll take the chance on the throw in. Yeah, that was another one where it's just like the car crash that you're seeing develop right in front of you, and you see it happening.
Yeah.
You realize it's happening, and it's like, oh no, oh no,
yeah,
oh no,
it's not pretty. So it's 2-2 at that point, and if you talk about tight in City Stadium, there it was tight, it was tight.
Oh, it's real. A lot of the conversations were, all right, when's it going to happen?
Yeah. We felt it. We were just like, all right, it's coming. It's coming. And I mean, that's how us fans are, man. Like, you expect the worst, and you're just like, it's coming. It's coming.
Well,
it's
coming. You're trained to expect certain things. Like, this time last year, if we're up 2-0, give up a goal, are you worried about it?
No, we're setting up shop.
No. Right. It's like, all right, well, you got one. Good on you. Still not worried in the slightest.
Yeah.
This year, they score a goal. We're still winning, and we're just like, oh, crap, we lost now.
It's like, here we go. That's what happened again. Like, set piece here. This is honestly, I'm not even too mad at this goal, because it was just a good jump. Like, the first two goals frustrate me more, because they're mistakes on our part that allow Fuego to get back in this game. Like, they allow Fuego to get back in this game and have momentum. And, like, if Chandler's stronger on the ball, if Sarakowski reads his defensive read, we're not talking about a 2-2 game and a set-piece coming that scores a third, right? We're talking about this team kind of eases out, probably gets a win into Labor Day weekend. But we're not. You got the set-piece goal that happens here, and I'm not mad about it. But it's just, I don't think there's anything that Akira could do on it. But yeah, at that point, it's 3-2, and I'm just like, oh, this is not going to be good.
Yeah, I mean, it happens enough, though. These set pieces we're giving up. Like,
yeah,
this is what I don't understand. You're this good on attacking corner kicks, but we can't seem to defend these free kicks or their corner kicks at all. But how does that square together?
That I don't know. Like, Darren, once again, putting out Darren's quote, consistently inconsistent. That's what it is. It's consistently inconsistent.
And are they inconsistent, or are they consistently doing the same bad thing?
That's the part. Consistently inconsistent. They're consistently inconsistent at defending.
Oh, I'm debating the inconsistent part of it.
Oh.
Because I think we have 10 games of evidence that suggests that this might be some consistency issue, actual consistency, going on here, of just bad decision making, bad execution.
And that's another thing, too. Like, do you kind of feel like, I mean, we talked about it in the stands, but let's talk about it on the field. Like, do you think these guys panicked? Like, it's 2-2. You just gave up two goals in, like, flashbang order. You can feel it in the supporters group. Yeah, I mean, you can feel it. Look around the stands. Like, and you can feel the atmosphere get tight. Fuego's like, we all got nothing to play for. We're playing with reckless abandon. Do you feel like our guys got tight?
I think there's just no self-belief in this team anymore.
Right? Yeah.
Like, if you were watching closely, you know, when they were, you know, Fuego celebrating their second goal, there were one or two guys, and I don't know who they are by sight well enough, you know, to be able to pick it out. But there were one or two guys you could say, hey, no, let's get back. We're winning this now. They knew that was happening, you know, at that point. And I don't feel like you see that with this team. Like, who's that, you know, kind of emotional driver on the field to, you know, be able to pick guys up when they're down?
Yeah, I can't tell you who it is. I can't tell you. Like, I can't tell you who's the guy on this team that's just like, yo, like, we're doing this. We're
finishing. This guy, people say, you know, not F this, you know, we're not losing this now. You know, buck up, we're going.
Yeah, I don't know. I want to say it was Ani at one point, but I'm not sure anymore.
I don't know.
Yeah. So at that point, it's 3-2. And then Darren was like, you know what? Yeah, we're going to put the kids on. Like, the kids they're going to learn something today. Because he takes off Hornsby, brings in Becca Howe, takes off Bentley, brings on Nick Simmons. And we got to say, man, once again, Richmond gets another set piece. This goalkeeper looked at it, was like, it's out of my reach, and here comes Nick Simmons at the back post. And you know who the person that was guarding him? Victor Flack.
Yeah.
Gives me a little bit of smile. Victor was like, I'm going to give you guys this one, which I'm proud about. What happened for?
Well, yeah, after he's, you know, completely screwed us last year.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. But yeah, happy for Nick Simmons, man. 16-year-old coming on. Just being in the right spot at the right time.
Yeah.
That's what he knows me about being a striker.
Yeah, that's, you know, classic, you know, striker's goal. You get in there, you just get into the right spot. I mean, that's how Emmy scores a lot of his goals. They're not spectacular goals. They're, he shows up at the right spot and just, you know, easily puts it in.
Yeah.
Right? You know, so, hey, I think you're making your debut is, what, I think 3 minutes into him coming on the field. You know, he gets...
I think it was literally his fourth touch. I think it was literally his fourth touch.
Okay. How cool a moment, you know, is that? You're right then. If you missed, you know, everything about him, you know, so far, his dad played for the team in 2003, scored a few goals for us. I won't bring up what his biggest, you know, pro kickers moment was, because he probably doesn't want to remember that one. You know, but, you know, he's been around the area for a long time now. You know, running, you know, all the, you know, what is it, the Untouch the Futsal, you know, programs in town, and producing strikers all over the place. You know, Simmons family, if you got any more of them sticking around, you know, we'll take
I think
them.
There's a third one somewhere. I think there's like a younger brother that's all in the academy somewhere. So, I mean, hey, Darren is like all in on bringing in the city kids. So there's another one somewhere.
Yeah. But I mean, the thing with Nick, too, is even when you just see him come on the field, kid is huge already.
Yeah. It was funny, though, because I think in the program, I think they had him listed as a defender. So when I saw him go on and play up top, I was just like, okay, all right. But proof is there.
Yeah. The other thing that, you know, I saw that he was listed as like the, you know, youngest kicker's goal scorer in modern history. And I'm trying to think, it's got to be the youngest overall, Magic, because I can't think of any other 16-year-olds we would have had, you know, back in the day, because that was all, you know, just professional before, you know, academies and all that were really a thing. So,
yeah.
Unless I'm just forgetting, you know, something, I think he's probably the youngest goal scorer, period, for the Kickers.
Yeah, I would have to say. Unless there's like a random 15-year-old out there.
Not that I can think of. The only one I was, you know, considering is possibly being somebody else. It was Michael Seaton back in like 2013, but I was looking up when his birthday was, and he was already, I think, 17 by the time he scored his first goal.
Yeah. So I don't know. Also, what are they defining as modern history?
It's not a topic to get me going on right now.
Okay. Fair enough. But yeah.
Save that one for the off season so I can just go on like a 2-hour rant.
I definitely will. I'll bring this point up back for you. but at this point, it's 3-3. It kind of felt like the game was wide open. Zhao, for as great as he was, I felt like he did have a couple of rush passes. Because, I mean, and maybe we just talked about, like, maybe Zhao is the one that's trying to motivate this team at some point. Like, of like, yo, I'm trying to, like, get stuff started. Maybe that is Zhao. Because you can see it. Like, there was a lot of time he get the ball. As soon as he get it, he's, like, looking for the winger on the outside. He's trying to drive the ball forward, trying to, you know, leak up play. I believe it's another set piece. And at this point, everyone's pushed up forward, so really no one's back defending. But another bad moment for Sarah Cousins, another defensive blunder, I should say. He's kind of chasing out the Fuego player, did it very end of the game. Like, literally, there were, like, seconds left. And for some reason, he just stops. And at first, I thought it was like, oh, he must have thought the ball went out, or did he pull up or something? But no, he just stopped.
He just, you know, downshifted from, like, fourth to first.
Yeah, like you okay, sir? But Akira came up again with an amazing save to hold on to the 1 point. So I know, like, fans were struggling to pull out some positives. There are some positives, like Nick Simmons scoring, Jao getting a golden in the sense of this game. You know, we didn't stop the bleeding. We kind of put a Band-Aid on the gunshot wound, in a sense, but we get points, and we got a section over.
Point.
Yeah, point. My fault. Point. And we got a section over. So there are positives. There are good things to see. Let me ask you this question, Matt. Looking at Darren, over this stretch that is not being good for the kickers, do you think there are some positive takeaways to take away from it, let's say in the last 2-3 games?
Maybe Nick Simmons could continue to give us something. Childs played well.
Yeah.
I think anything else would probably be a little dishonest of an opinion, so no.
Okay. I mean, fair enough.
Because you say the Lexington game, all right, only gave up a penalty, didn't, you know, bleed 2-3 goals, but then they turn right back around and bleed 3-Fuego. So there goes that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I mean, Giles played well. I would say the kids have done a good job. Beckett. Maybe not Beckett. He hasn't really done too much. He got his most minutes last week, but
Landon's Beckett's in a position where if you're noticing him, it's probably going to be for a bad reason. So
that's true.
Yeah. Maybe he hasn't done anything like holy crap well, you know, yeah. But I can't think of anything where it's been like, oh, come on, dude, what are you doing? And you can't say that for a lot of other guys on the field right now.
Yeah, that's true. And I mean, something got to be said about the fact that Darren is going to the kids. Like, Landon has started his third straight game, and he's 16. Mind you, we got Gordon, Belmar, Sarakowski, Luke, Bentley, and a 16-year-old is beating them out.
I think he's 17 now, but
oh, yeah, 17. Well, he's beating them out, right? Darren is so much so, like, I mean, we talked about it before, man. Like, the depth on this team is really the Achilles heel. Like, Darren can't look at his bench and be as if, like, all right, I'm going to put this guy in defensive. Last year, we could do that. Last year, we had three center backs that were all in great form. If one got tired or had a bad game, we could put on another and keep going. This year, we haven't been able to do that. It's so much so that, like, these guys are having to play out bad form, and this is just me. Like, in lower league soccer, like, if you get a team in bad form, it's really hard to get out of it, especially if you don't have quality depth behind them that can push them or, you know, sub them out when they're in that bad form so they can just kind of reset, right? Like, we haven't seen Chris Cole, who was, I think, what was it, the last Greenville game? Possibly came in as center back. We haven't seen him for a while. We haven't seen Meacham. Really, it just seemed to be like, all right, it's going to be the front four, I mean, the back four of Hornsby, Dakota, Ani, and Fitch. And then if one of them get tired, we throw it back at Hal. And that's kind of pretty much it, right?
I mean, Chandler this game, but yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, Chris Cole, we haven't seen him. We haven't seen Meacham. Like,
yeah, and if we're being honest with the injury reports, they're not listed as injured.
No, they're not.
I
mean,
I don't trust the injury reports at all. But yeah, if we're taking, you know, the team at their word of, oh, you know, in this game only, you know, EVD and Terzaghi were out with an injury. What's going on with these other guys?
Yeah. That's another question. At this point, do you even bring EVD back? Or do you just be like, yo, just sit out the rest of this year?
All right. If he's legitimately ready to go, yeah, give him a game or two. Why not?
Okay.
What do you lose at this point?
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Yeah, I mean, obviously we're going to talk about it during the off season, because we don't see a postseason coming anytime soon for the team, but I was talking to you before we started recording about being on the fence about the soft rebuild versus almost just gutting this team and starting over. I'm still on the fence about it because I can go either way, but I feel like the defense of this team, like, if this team is back to get back to the quality that they were of last year, or even in 2021, I feel like it has to be like you got to get more defensive depth, quality defensive depth. Like, you can't just have names on the sheet. You got to have defensive depth that you can trust to play important minutes.
Yeah, I mean, I think just need guys, period. Right.
Yeah, but we got guys, period. Like, we got guys we can just be like, all right.
I mean, for, like, any position, it's not just defense.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
But, no, I think, you know, you can use these last six games to kind of evaluate, you know, hey, who really wants to be here? Right? You know, who's, you know, at least, you know, outwardly showing that, hey, I'm, you know, maybe this is a little bit of a lost cause at this point, but I'm, you know, going down with the, you know, the ship, you know, bitter end, and who's just playing out the string.
Yeah. Who's just,
and if you're on the playing out the string piece, see ya. Not going to miss you.
Yeah. Like, playoffs with this team is pretty much gone, albeit not mathematically eliminated, but gone in a sense. But I mean, at this point, yeah, you're right. You got to see who wants to be here and see what you got for next year. Like,
also, just because you want to be here doesn't mean you get to be here.
You should be here, right? You got to see who can you take and really push this roster to the next level. So the Kickers got this weekend off. I know there's two games tomorrow, two games Saturday. I don't know if there's any Sunday, but. We got a two-game road trip coming up. Walking 90, I put this as my most difficult stretch coming up, where we on the road, two games against UU Omaha, and then we got Greenville and Tormenta coming up. But let's focus on the UU Omaha game. The team got a week and a half to kind of reset, get themselves prepared and ready. How do you think this UU Omaha game is going to play out?
Poorly. God. I mean, they're on fire right now.
Listeners have a great show.
They're on fire right now. Like, everything they're touching turns to gold. Everything we touch turns a different color.
Yeah,
I don't see a lot of reason to be optimistic at this point. I think other years would have said, "Hey, you're going playing on the you know baseball field. Just try to shut it down and you know get out of there. Maybe you know steal one somewhere. You know, kind of like what we did in 2020." You know, when you know Yvonne scored, you know, that late header to steal one out of there.
Yeah.
But I can't honestly say I think this team is capable of shutting up shop and, you know, trying to steal one out of there. That ain't going to happen. Yeah, so, yeah, I think we'd like to see, again, a little bit more directness, kind of like what we were talking about, what you know, Zhao was able to bring, mm-hmm. you know, today, yesterday, whatever day it is, I don't know. you know, and, you know, when Omaha scores, because they're a good team, we're probably not going to, you know, shut them out. You know, being able to observe that blow and not fold. Because I feel like what we've seen a lot lately is team scores that first goal and it's just, all right, that was good run, guys. You know, see ya.
Look, all right, y'all. We'll try this again next week.
Yeah, so it's just the way a lot of these games have felt lately, right? You know, where, you know, they'll play well, but as soon as, you know, they get hit in the face, you know, they're down for the count.
It really just felt like this team just is struggling, like, to use a boxer. Right? They're just struggling to get off the mat. Like, at some point, Herb Dean just needs to come in and just be like, all right, we're calling this. By the way, Herb Dean is, like, the funniest ref to have in a UFC fight because he will let fighters go. Like, he will let them fight. But yeah, it just feels like Richmond and he just needs someone to come in and wave in the white towel for him and be like, it's okay. You tried. I don't know, man. The confidence, even like after the game, man, you could just see like the confidence and when those guys were walking around dapping us up, it just felt like the confidence was just gone.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Everybody knows, you know, the cards in the hand at this point.
Yeah, that's true. If you're Darren, how do you line this team up against your Omaha? Like, what is the best lineup we can have to give ourselves a chance in this game? And like you said in his word, even though his coaches speak, you know, he's not going to already say like, ah, fuck it, sorry. He's not going to come out and say, ah, whatever.
Oh man, I got through this whole thing censoring myself, and
I know. It just be like, you know, it is what it is. I'm tossing the rest of the games to the wind. You know, even though it's close to me,
I still believe it. I do put a cure out there for this one just because the last time we were there, like, you don't need to put Palmquist, you know, through that again.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that was, again, it wasn't necessarily his fault, you know, out there, but yeah, I think you got to mix that one up.
I understand that.
I mean, I wish there was a better solution to the back line, but like you said, we're going to have four guys, you know, that can actually, you know, start at this point. So you go back to the usual crew there. I want to see Emmy out there and just see if he can, you know, torment the Omaha fans some more because they were losing their damn mind over him last game.
Oh, God. I forgot about that. Him and Joe. Woo.
Yeah, so maybe we can get a round two of, you know, him trying to be the, you know, undisputed villain of Nebraska. That would be fun.
Yeah. At this point, just do something fun. Go out there and have some fun.
Yeah. I have no idea. I think that, you know, an Omaha field might be a little bit more of a Belmar type field because, you know, it is narrower.
Yeah.
I feel like it might be time to give Landon a game off the bench instead of starting.
Okay.
I don't have any answers to how to fix this at this point.
I mean, I would think like our best starting lineup.
Maybe try the four midfielder lineup again and go with two strikers.
Yeah. But I feel like you need wingers to try to at least give you a shot. I think you just stick with the 4-3-3 at this point. Don't mix up the formations. Don't try to get fancy. At least try to do the simple things good because this team hasn't done the simple things well because like we talked about before, like those will let us the goals. So I would give you Akira, Dak comeback, Wani, Fitch, and Hornsby, Zaka, Jowl and Neal. I would go those two. Go there again. God. I would – Sarakowski got a set. So Belmar, Bentley, because he hasn't been bad in Emmy. Like, I would give you that. And then if for some reason we are up or tied at this point in the 16th minute, you could try bringing on Belmar or Suco. I wouldn't really – or Johnson. I wouldn't really touch Sarakowski, like give him a game to sit. Like just give him a game to sit and get out of there. Like, honestly, I'm not going to lie to you. I will treat a draw like a win.
Yeah.
I know there were some fans last night upset that we draw. That's fine. Whatever. Me personally, at this point, they slow down the bleeding. If we walk out of, if you tell me right now, I can get a draw from Union Omaha and Madison on the road, I'll take it right now.
Would you rather, you know, not lose both games or win one game?
I'd rather not lose both. I'm tired of losing. I'll take the 2 points and keep it pushing.
Okay. I think I'd rather be one of them. I don't, you don't get to pick which one. I'll take the one win out of that just because need that taste of winning again. And who knows, might screw up one of them. Like,
yeah.
Oh, that's probably good. But, beat Madison. They could find themselves slipping backwards. And,
it's going to be bad. I think Madison has found themselves slipping backwards slightly.
Right. Yeah. So, look, if it's not going to go well for us, let's, tear some people down with us along the way. Yeah, true hater style.
Yeah. Back to pure chaos. I love it. I like it.
It's not chaos. It's just being an absolute hater.
Yeah. And also, like, I don't want to give Madison the satisfaction of sweeping us in the Henry Derby. So that's why I went with the two draws. So I just take the two draws.
Fair enough.
Matt, anything else from you, man? Oh, before we wrap up, congrats to Connor Capetti. Is that as long as Capetti?
Capelletti?
Yes, the second assistant head coach. He just got named as the boys' college advisor for Richmond United. Don't really know what that role is about, but I'm assuming it's something good.
Nice shout out there.
Yeah.
I feel like the bigger one that you probably meant to mention was, Akira's back for at least 2 years.
Oh, yeah. Akira's back for 2 more years. Yeah. Goalkeeper Akira, the Hokage of Southside Richmond. He's back 2 more years. Were you surprised he signed the decision so early?
Maybe the timing of it, yes, but the fact that it happened, not really. Like, I think he's a guy who's going to be on the team until he's ready to be done playing professional soccer at this point. Like, seems like his family is laid down roots in the city, and if he's going to be around, yeah, why not?
Right. Let me ask you this question, and this is kind of like down the line. So I'm talking like 4 or 5 years down the road. Darren leaves, say, this is Darren's worst season ever, right? Darren leaves after a couple
of titles. Let's hope so.
Yeah, after a couple of title wins, whatever. He leaves, goes to Seattle, takes them over, whatever. Do you think Akira steps in to be head coach? Like, did Akira takes it?
No.
Okay.
I mean, partially that's just the odds are, no, I'll take literally everybody else versus him to get the job. But I don't know. I think this ownership group has seen the first-year coach maybe pushed in before he was ready once already and might not want to dip back into that.
Probably so. This is just a fun thought experiment. But, Matt, anything else for you, man, before we wrap up?
No, I mean, it has been a fun, couple months. No. But, still, 3 more home games. Still get out there, support the team. Support the organization by buying tickets so that way they can maybe find other players to play here next year. Have you ever actually had a bad time at City Stadium? No.
I haven't. Like, even though yesterday's game didn't go the way I wanted to, like, I wanted to win, like, I got to see a sectional goal. And I remember there was a point we never saw that. So that was fun. You know, I got to see people I haven't seen in a while. And because I feel like we haven't been in the stadium in a while, or more so me. So it was good to be back in the stadium. And like you said, we only got 3 games left, 6 games left overall. Let's enjoy it. Let's have some fun and put the season behind us and keep it pushing.
Yeah.
You know? So, listeners, with that being said, as always, we just want to thank you for taking the time out of your day for listening to our show. With that being said, you can follow the show at rivercity93.com. You can follow us on all your favorite podcasts app on YouTube. If you're listening on YouTube, leave us a subscribe. I see the views have been going up, so make sure you subscribe, share, and like as always. But with that being said, for Matt, for the whole crew, and for myself, we will holler at you guys later. Up the rooms, be easy.